Jeff is our national and presidential expert and noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books. Also, totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Reports, his weekly business roundup in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report is something he does for KXEL, and he's kind enough to join us today. Jeff, are you doing a lot of midnight walking around town?
That's actually the title of my autobiography. I was walking around midnight and got shot.
Oh, I can tell you right now, if I was walking around midnight in Edina, the wealthiest community in this entire city, you'd probably get shot. I mean, I'm going to let you know. It just is the way it is.
One thing logically leads to another.
Pandemics, Australian fires, murder hornets. Shootings at midnight. I really do. Anyway, so just FYI, I was in North Minneapolis today, and I have not been shot. Something that seems to happen to a lot of people that go into Minneapolis, especially in the northern side, on any given basis. Sorry, paranoid freaks. So I want to ask you something, Jeff.
You're not sorry, but go
ahead. No, I'm not sorry. You've seen through my ruse. Okay.
Call in.
So I want to read you this. This is do you follow Blue Stem Prairie, the news, the Western Minnesota online news?
No, I do not.
It's good. Worthwhile. You should. Sally Joe over there posted a story. The Marshalltown turkey processing plant confirmed Tuesday that one of their employees had tested positive for COVID-19. While the Turkey Valley Farms plant is still operating, Turkey Valley Farms spokespeople said the plant will be doing additional screenings of coworkers before they enter the facility, as well as keeping in advanced safety measures that have been put into place over the last couple of months, which was interesting. The reason why this story caught my eye is, okay, this is a meat processing plant, turkey processing in this case, that's only had one case. Okay, this is interesting. And it's a producer-owned processing plant that, you know, has, you know, from the get-go was very proactive and seems to have been able to at least stem the tide up to this point of any kind of major outbreak, which they should be commended for, I think, in Marshall. That being said, it does bring up the point. If we do have meat processing plants which are not having horrific pandemic outbreaks, do you think at some point in the future we might start looking at potential crimes against the people that did run these plants that clearly did not take safety, health and safety seriously and jeopardize their own employees?
Oh, you've got the possibility of criminal actions. Mm-hmm. You've got the possibility of civil actions. Can I read you a few numbers here just to show you that at some point companies have to have some level of culpability? So, for example, we've talked before about Tyson Foods.
Yes.
Let me give you some numbers of three pork processing plants in my state of Iowa. Columbus Junction was the first to close. They had 221 infections out of 900 employees. My public school math says that's about 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tyson plant in Waterloo, 444 workers positive out of about 3,000. That's a pretty healthy percentage. Perry in central Iowa. You know where Perry is.
Yeah.
730 workers confirmed to have the virus. 58% of those tested. Mm-hmm. 58%.
Wow.
How can you say, well, gosh, I had no idea. The sheriff here, I had him on my program today, and he described not just his anger, but to some degree his fear when he walked through the plant here and saw that OSHA requirements were being ignored, CDC guidelines were being ignored, and 3 days later, it just mushroomed, because not only were there 400 workers at the plant, some of those people have roommates or spouses who work elsewhere, and that is the textbook definition of community spread. Now, they're going to open that plant tomorrow. He toured it again. He said they must have been working day and night to weld the things that they had to for the barriers and this and that and something else. Okay, if you're the company, you'll wind up maybe doing the right thing ultimately. So you had to spend that money. Why not do it on the front end and never have the plant shut down? Never subject yourself to a worker shortage. For 5 seconds, think about the humans that you have working for them. You don't have a sick workforce. But again, this is my rant against the company, as I've done it for multiple weeks, but here's the little jewel that I learned today on the radio. there had been rumors that when the plant in Columbus Junction, Iowa had closed, that Tyson bussed workers to Waterloo, which then spread the infection here. The sheriff said he had been told this because he went to clinics in this area. There were people who were being treated who gave their addresses Columbus Junction. They were asked, what are you doing here? Oh, I work at Tyson. Well, that sounds like A plus B equals C. So he confronted the company and said, are you bussing workers in? And they looked at him and in essence almost said, gambling? What do you mean gambling? This is a piano house. You know, this thing. They said, no, we did not ever bring any workers in. And he said, okay, well, you know, okay, you're pretty forceful about it. Come to find out that's technically true, but he phrased what I'm about to tell you as disingenuous, and as a lawyer, I'll tell you it's worse than disingenuous. Tyson contracted with another company. There are some commonalities of ownership. This was a cleaning company. When Columbus Junction closed, the, quote, cleaning company bussed on up to Waterloo to, quote, clean up here. Now, should the company have said, now let's say Sheriff Matt McNeil asks me as the Tyson good guy rep, you know, did you bring workers up? The answer should have been, any humane person would have said, no, we did not bus any Tyson workers here. You should be aware, however,
yes,
that one of our little friendly companies here that we probably control on the side, we did bring these people up. And here's the 20 people, and here are their names, and let's test them out. Something, but no, instead it was righteous indignation. How dare you suggest we would do such a thing? I mean, this is, you know, what we're dealing with, okay? And so when you know that going in, I just wonder how they can be absolved of responsibility. Obviously moral responsibility, but what about legal responsibility? Where's the incentive for the company and Marshall to do the right thing when these other guys get off scot-free?
It wasn't the People's Front of Judea. It was the Judea's People Front. Come on, get to know the difference. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm wrong. It's entirely my mistake.
It wasn't Tyson's Food. It was Tyson's Food's cleaning company, completely different organization. Yes, exactly.
It was Tyson Food A, yeah. Not Tyson Food B. What's the matter with you?
There's a silent J on there. So, okay. So, but you mean, are we looking at something similar to? I don't think anything's going to happen under Trump. But you know, say that the next election goes the side of the Democrats. Are we looking at something like Triangle Shirtwaist Company, 1900s, the fire code stuff, where they found they prosecuted those people? And everyone else was given a pass. I mean, everyone else who was doing the same exact thing was given a pass. They found one sacrificial court case, threw that guy in jail, and from that point forward, it will change. Do you feel as if that might be eventually what the outcome is going to be in something like this?
Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter which party is running any of it. And the reason I say that is because these companies have us over a barrel. If you want food, this is the system we have set up. Now, if you want a system whereby these producers have a different way to send their animals to slaughter, either through encouraging regional and local lockers as opposed to these ginormous companies, okay, if you want to get to that kind of a system, it's going to be a painful transition. It may cost you more at the grocery store, but it may well be worth it. So that we are not beholden to certain companies that have Chinese ownership or have, quote, varied international ownership. That gives me a great feeling of security. So I think the problem is, I don't like the phrase too big to fail, but the companies act like, what are you going to do? Because we'll shut down your darn food supply. And then how are you going to feel? We're going to force you to take hogs ready for market and kill them. How's that feel? And because that's what's happening. That's how they were able to get away with it to begin with. And I, you know, this is not like some you know, Netflix drama series where the good guy, you know, stands up against the big company and wins in the end. No small town sheriff is going to be able to prosecute these people, so to speak. I just don't feel it's going to happen. Now, am I too pessimistic? Gee, that'd be the first time anybody suggested that. But, mm-hmm. I just don't feel it.
If you needed another reason why becoming a vegetarian is, you know, might be a way to go, it will really make these companies mad. And so I guess maybe that's it. I mean, seriously, if you drive enough people away from meat, then all of a sudden they're, hey, wait a minute here. Maybe we'll clean up our product and clean up our other ways. But until then, we'll have to figure out that on another day. The Lincoln Project. This is a group of conservative Republicans that are never Trumpers. They basically feel as if he's the death of the Reagan Republicans. And so they have bound together. You saw the ad they released. That was a brutal ad. That was really, as someone said, it's like that would, like, a liberal group made that ad. That ad hit hard and Trump did not like it.
Well, he's being criticized. Of course he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. Have you found someone? I mean, even his staunchest allies concede that there's probably not someone with a thinner skin out there, right? Well, I mean, so,
he does occasionally like a good spanking, though. Let's just
how is that helpful to this conversation?
I don't know, but I mean, he is in some arenas he does like discipline. So I guess we could go from there, or you know, magazines. I don't know how you want to go with that, but needless to say, you're right.
I don't want to go anywhere with that.
All right, you're right though. He is not exactly Johnny acceptance of criticism.
Yes, Johnny. He's not Johnny. But there, what you're finding, and it's not – I mean, the Lincoln Project is the most vocal. They are the most well-known. You've got George Conway involved, et cetera, et cetera. I'm getting posts on Twitter now from groups who are aligned with Republicans. I mean, it's pretty clear that these are folks who are Republicans who are – encouraging Republican office holders to keep their distance and publishing things like the poll shows that current office holder is barely ahead of Democrat challenger. And so this just shows that, you know, Trump, anything he touches turns to crap. And so therefore you should run as far as you can. I mean, there is this movement that is really gaining some traction. Now, whether these elected officials are going to pay any attention or not, because they're going to be blacklisted for life, right, out of this administration if there's a second term. But so there is dissatisfaction, because I think the fear is, I mean, you hear Republicans say if Biden is the nominee, and unless we get to some sort of, you know, science fiction novel, that's what's going to happen. He's going to be the nominee. They're just going to take the whole party down with him. Well, there are these Republicans who say, you know, if Trump keeps suggesting that people drink Lysol for their physical health, he's going to take the whole party down. It's bad enough that they lost the House in the midterm. That's not a surprise given how those things go. But you've got Republicans saying, could we at least hold on to the Senate? Pretty please. You know, and so you're seeing some of this, and they know how to get under Johnny, whatever phrase you used, Johnny Thinskins, get on his nerves, right? Mm-hmm. By just mentioning anything. So if you're going to do it, though, you might as well go all out.
Oh, well, they did. And that's a heck of an ad. You can't deny that. And yeah. It does point out, I mean, he does have so many things right now that are liabilities. I mean, even Fox News, Fox and Friends and Hannity are saying, you know, armed protesters at these rallies is not a good idea. You're jeopardizing police officers, and that's not a really good idea. And so you have all these things. I could see if these numbers, I mean, once again, he is really doing bad with suburban women. And unless he can turn that around, there's no chance. He's got no chance at this point. I mean, he really is looking, you know, it's going to be a very rough reelection campaign for him. But that being said, I agree with you to a point. I think the money people are going to be the ones that make the final decision. They'll eventually just abandon him and throw everything they can at the Senate and try to hold that, or at least keep it between a 1-2 vote, you know, majority for the Democrats. And that's that. But when conservatives can write an ad that the Democrats couldn't even produce an ad that good. And you know, it just is when you got that, he is so weak on so many levels, it's going to be next to him. It will you thought the math in 2016 was wild. It will take, you know, I don't know if there's math in created right now that could get him into 2020 if the numbers stay where they're at right now.
It's just okay if the numbers stay where they are right now.
Yes.
But that gets us to the snotty point I would make, which is this is May 6th, not November, whatever it is, 3rd.
Yes.
So because truly, 10 weeks ago, we weren't looking at a global pandemic affecting us here in this way, right? So who knows what the next 10 weeks are going to hold? And I don't mean to be disingenuous by saying that. But the bottom line is we have learned, if nothing else over the past 20 years, nothing anybody does or says before Labor Day is going to be dispositive, because we have seen such wild swings in terms of voter preference, and it goes before that too. But this is going to be really interesting, and as we've discussed before, if the average voter who has significant shortages at the grocery store has had a summer that is just completely lost and has income that is lost, if they believe that the current president could have made their lives better, they're going to turn on him in a heartbeat. And then, by the way, that didn't matter if it was Trump or anybody. I mean, that's how we tend to vote.
Yeah.
If his old voters don't hold this against him, then that's his path. He's got to hold on to what got him there in 2016 and look for a few places he might flip in case there is erosion.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got to take a break right now. I want to come back. I want to touch on one other thing here in regards to COVID-19, namely Jared Kushner and the problems he's going to be having here before too long. Jeff Stein is joining us, 952-946-6205. Reminder, Pilots Progressive Party coming up today. One of my favorite people, Representative Mary Kunesh-Podein, is going to be joining them. Make sure you join us. That's at 5 o'clock after Democracy Now! We'll take a break. Back with more with Jeff in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find that perfect book. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Snap Construction wants to say thank you to all of the brave healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, and firefighters for putting themselves ahead of others every day. Your bravery is heroic, and to all of our fellow Americans, best wishes and health to you and your families from Snap Construction.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name, and Progressive Fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. I'm here with Ryan, owner of the locally owned Snap Construction and arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor in the metro. Ryan had to call in for this ad because he's practicing social distancing. So what is Snap Construction doing right now to provide a safe working environment?
Thanks for the introduction, Chad. I am at home practicing social distancing, watching the little man, and trying to get a little work done here at home. Once again, thank you to all the AM 950 listeners who have worked with us in the past. Your support has been tremendous. Chad, the safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction is the absolute first priority. Right now, we are offering a free no-contact estimate for roofing, siding, or window replacement. Through video chat, email, text, we'll deliver your bid to you without face-to-face contact. Lock in your historically low labor and material rates now and build later. No obligation. You can cancel any future work with no cost or penalty.
For a free no-contact estimate, call 612-333-SNAP.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Just one quick side note, Jeff. I just want to make sure you mention this or are aware of this. Ilhan Omar, clearly she's getting challenged in the Democratic side in a primary. And something tells me numbers must not be – I don't think she's in jeopardy. But all of a sudden now, because I'm in her district, I'm getting a lot of – Ilhan's there for the Minnesota 5. It's no longer – the narrative on her – has changed dramatically to now I'm a Minnesota 5 candidate and not this kind of national figure.
Well, all politics is local.
Yes, it is.
People who have had high national profiles. Well, I mean, Tom Daschle. Okay,
yeah.
Go back to that. I mean, how many of them wind up getting brought up short at home? And so, obviously, she wants to make sure that doesn't happen, which you can understand.
Jared Kushner, there's a whistleblower complaint that basically says that when it came to the medical supplies and revolved around this pandemic, that he basically brought in his buddies, no one that had medical experience, and then everything was about making sure companies that were friendly to the Trump administration or friends of Jared's basically got rewarded, and it in turn led to massive problems with our healthcare supply network. This complaint is very ugly. I don't know if you've seen the complaint, and I'm going to guarantee at some point this is going to be brought up to Congress.
I just would ask the audience, show of hands here, Matt can see,
yes.
Show of hands, how many of you would hire your son-in-law in the family business to do anything of importance?
Ah!
How many of you would hire your son-in-law to mow your yard?
Nope, not going to happen.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I understand that the Trump dynasty there at Trump Tower was built with the president, and then he brought his children in as his trusted advisors. Okay, I get that. And so he wanted to have his daughter there at the White House because she appears to kind of keep him a little more on the road as opposed to in the ditch. At least that was the early run.
Yes.
You got to bring the son-in-law along. Can you find a job for my husband? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. First, he was the Mideast peace expert, as you recall, and that's worked out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was Mideast peace. He was going to solve all the problems. The reality is, though, and this is one thing I know about Trump, I do believe he'll throw Jared under the bus if he has to.
Well, sure, because he'll throw anybody under the bus if he has to.
Is there, Ivanka. Would he throw Ivanka?
He'd blame Jared for her.
Yeah.
His bad influence on her. It's Jared's fault. That's what he's doing. He's trying to drive a wedge between his daughter and her husband, and he's doing it on the public stage. Now you've uncovered it.
I am not going to say another word. I will post the Iowa politics report a little bit later on. Find Jeff's books over at Next Chapter Books. We'll check in with Jeff next week. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
See you later.
Take care. We are back tomorrow. I promise more dancing then. Till then, see ya.